Welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gretsch. Today, we are going to finish our look back at the Spider-Man movies. Covered Tobey's trilogy. We covered The Amazing Spider-Man last week, a couple weeks ago. And now we're talking about The Amazing Spider-Man 2. You guys know that in the past on this podcast, I've been very critical of the non-MCU Spider-Man movies. I've said they're really overrated and cheesy. And I know that I was wrong about those first two movies with Tobey. Spider-Man 3 was even more disappointing a couple weeks ago when I watched it. The first Amazing Spider-Man was fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. This is the only one that's exactly how I remember it. The Amazing Spider-Man 2, I believe, I don't know how you could make a Spider-Man movie worse than this one. I don't. I really don't. I have no words. I really don't. I don't even know where to start, so let's just start at the beginning. This movie starts out with Richard Parker, with the Parker parents, Peter's parents dying. So the first movie, guys, the first movie back in 2012 was marketed as The Untold Story of Spider-Man. The Untold Story of Spider-Man. No, it's not. It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. This movie is the untold story, where we learn that there's a lot more to Spider-Man than we thought. There's a lot more to the backstory of the spider itself. And I really believe that about every choice made in this movie is the wrong choice. This movie starts out on a terrible note with all the shaky cam. There is so much shaky camera work in this movie, and I cannot forgive it. I really can't. The cinematography in the final battle is great. I think that's beautiful. So what I'm trying to do, for every bad thing I say, I'm trying to give a positive. I'm going to try. I don't have many. I think I've got like three positives in this movie. You know what? I got four. I have four. I thought that Spider-Man messing with the rhino was pretty funny. I mean, until you realize that, oh, wait, no, people could be dying, and he's just making jokes and stuff. Like, that just didn't really fit with the scene. I don't know. He's a cockier Peter Parker than we saw in the last movie. But he's also the same, and I do like that. I do like that. I still believe that Andrew Garfield is the best Spider-Man. I think that, you know, Tom is the best Peter, and a close second for Spider-Man. But if we're just looking at Spider-Man character, I gotta go with Andrew Garfield. I really do. I think he's great. You know what? I actually have more than four positives. So I really liked how Peter was still seeing Captain Stacy in this movie. He's still like having visions of him. And it's a cool concept, but they never go anywhere with it. Like, it never comes into play later on. And it's just something that I feel is kind of lazy. They have this really cool setup with Peter, Spider-Man having visions of Kevin Stacy after, and you know, he broke his promise. He's still spending time with Gwen. And it's not, and he blames himself. And that's one of the reasons why I think, like, if they were to do The Amazing Spider-Man 3, and I've heard some rumblings that that could be in early development, that a third Andrew Garfield movie could be in development after No Way Home. You know, we don't... I'd love to see that. I'd really love to see that. I'd love to see what happens. Like, I think that this movie, if I'm being completely honest, I think this movie really does a great job to set up No Way Home and then come back to Amazing Spider-Man 3. I really do. We just have this movie. He's gone for a long time. He comes back in No Way Home. We see how he's grown in the years since. And then he gets thrown back into his own world in his third solo film. I think that'd be really, really cool to see. I think a lot of the music in the movie, a lot of the music here is really bad. It's really bad music. It reminds me, and I love film scores. I love film scores. Whenever a new Marvel movie comes out, I'm just as excited to listen to the original soundtrack. The music in this movie, I really like the main theme for Andrew Garfield. I really like the main Spider-Man theme in this movie, but a lot of guitar, and it's just not great. It's not. Ryan from The Office shows up. I'm like, That's Ryan from The Office. So we got to see Ryan from The Office. And every couple of minutes, I would just say to myself during this movie, Ryan from The Office is here. And also, I'm jumping around a lot. I'm jumping around as much as this movie does. The whole convoluted story about Richard Parker is just not interesting. And it is completely unnecessary for the story being told in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. It is completely unnecessary. It has nothing to do with the plot. That's not true. That's not true. I mean, it kind of... It doesn't have... It's vaguely... important. It could have just been as easy as saying, you know, because you kind of need that there to, you need a reason for Peter to not give his blood to Harry. You need to have a reason for that there, but the reason that they have is just unnecessary. It's just a bad reason. It could just be like, no, I'm not going to give you my... I mean, there's no reason there. I mean, I can't really think of another reason. But I just know that there are other choices in having him go to, like... At least, like, him going to the train station, doing all that unnecessary stuff. That is... That at least is unnecessary. That at least is unnecessary. And it doesn't really make sense how he's able to do it, and there are just better ways where that information could have been revealed. And this is another thing that this movie does, where the more I watch, I go back and rewatch movies like this, the more I appreciate the MCU. And Venom. I think that the universe that Venom has set up is really good. I think that Sony learned from their mistakes here. And what they're doing with Venom, and Let There Be Carnage, and Morbius, and Kraven. I have a lot of hope and faith in Sony's new Spider-Man universe. And what happens here... is this movie purely exists to set up sequels. Look at the MCU. Look at the MCU. And also, I do not consider post-credit scenes a part of a movie. I consider that a trailer for the next movie. Or then whatever it's setting up. Like, Iron Man 1 does not set up anything. Again, except for the credit scene, but I don't count that as part of the movie. Iron Man 2 sets up a lot, and Iron Man 2 is my least favorite MCU movie. But you needed to, and it's like all the other four films in Phase 1, except for Iron Man 2 and leading up to the Avengers, all set up a little piece of the story that we're going to be, that's going to come together in Avengers 1. And other than, I'm really trying to think of like a movie that is just so insistent on setup. And really, there's Age of Ultron and Eternals. And I'm not going to go into spoilers for Eternals because I know there are people who just cannot get to theater. So we're not going to go into Eternal spoilers. But they just set up so much. And Age of Ultron is different because, you know, we've seen the payoff and it wasn't at the beginning of the universe. Like, Age of Ultron was like the 11th movie. Not the second movie. So, and it's also what I think the Avengers movies are meant for. The Avengers movies are meant to sort of be, I think, like, check-in points. Like, I don't consider Avengers a film series. Or if I do say the Avengers movies, I mean the MCU. Because they don't really follow one singular narrative. It's, I don't think that any of the four Avengers movies have any character development. Except for, you know, a little bit here with Clint Barton in Age of Ultron. Obviously, Infinity War does a masterful job of developing Thanos. And, you know, I'd say Endgame is a little bit different. I'd say Endgame is a little bit different because Endgame sort of feels like there's been an entire phase of movies we've missed. It feels like we've missed a Captain Marvel movie. And, well, not really an Ant-Man movie. Not an Ant-Man movie, but like a Captain Marvel sequel. We've missed a Captain America movie. We've missed a Black Widow movie, a Hawkeye movie, a Rocket and Nebula movie. It would have been a shorter phase, but it feels like there's, like, you gotta, oh, and a Hulk movie, of course. But you gotta, like, make up for that, and I think it does a great job. The point is, you can look at a lot of failed cinematic universes and point to one movie that's just setting everything up and it's never going to be paid off. That's there for this. Batman v Superman. Now, the DCEU, I think, is fine right now. I think they're finally starting to get their groove together. But still a lot of problems there. So, if I'm being honest, I'm glad that they rebooted with Tom Holland in the MCU. I'm glad that they did that, because this just wasn't working. This just wasn't working. Because this movie, again, and this is one of the main reasons I'm scared for No Way Home. This movie and Spider-Man 3 have way too many villains. But here's the thing. Now, this movie has three villains. Spider-Man 3 has three villains. But No Way Home is going to have five villains that we know about. Or six. Five or six villains. Because we've heard there might not be a Sinister Six. Might be a Sinister Five. We know that Venom's in this movie. Come on. You guys know Venom is in this movie. That, I'm going to say 95% on. He is, without a doubt, in Spider-Man No Way Home. So, you know, it's just like, and I don't really know if Doc Ock is going to be a main villain, per se. I don't know if he will be. Because he was sort of a hero at the end of Spider-Man 2. And I'd really like to see that story continue after the bridge fight that seems like goes on for eternity. So, yeah, that's really it. This movie just sets up way too much. I'm glad that they rebooted into... They put it off into two different universes. They sent Spidey off to the MCU, and then they're doing their Sinister Six villain thing with Venom in that universe. So I like that a lot. I think it works really well with the characters. And Spider-Man has such an expansive rogues gallery that I don't think that he really needs to be in the Venom movies for a while. I think he will be, but I really don't think he needs to be for them to be good. You guys know I think that the Venom movies are a lot of fun. They're not good, but they're a lot of fun. But yeah. Yeah, so I really love the grief that we can see that Peter's feeling at the end. And my favorite thing about this movie is the little kid that he helps. Because that is Spider-Man. This movie, for as bad as it is, as much as I really don't like this movie, I teared up at the end. When that kid comes back, after Spider-Man's been gone for 5 months, and that kid is facing down the Rhino, and Peter steps up from behind him and he goes, "Hey, Spider-Man, do you need some help?" Like, I love that. I love that. And that is the best. That's just so Spider-Man. It's so incredibly Spider-Man. And that's one of the reasons why I love two scenes in this movie. Because these movies where Tobey's Spider-Man was always more about Peter Parker. These are more about Spider-Man. And I think Tom has struck a really great balance between the two of them really well. Like, Tobey's is all about Peter. Andrew's is all about Spidey. And then Tom is a good 50-50 split. It's about the balance. This movie is all about Spider-Man. Both these movies are all about Spider-Man. I think that Peter Parker is not all that great of a person in these two films. He's just, again, there's no reason for him to not give his blood to his best friend. There's no reason for it. It would have saved everything. Like, there is no reason for him to not have done that. Everything they do with Green Goblin here makes no sense. It's terrible. Everything that they do with the villain, with both villains, is terrible. None of the motivations make sense. None of it makes sense. Electro is annoying. He's weird. I'm glad that he's going to be different in No Way Home. I'm real glad that he's going to be different in No Way Home. Because it wasn't working. It really wasn't. So, yeah. Last thing, Why would anyone buy a Sony laptop? I just want you to think about that for a second. Like, why would anyone buy a Sony laptop? So, yeah. I think it's going to do it, guys. This was a shorter podcast. I've done a lot of podcasting the last couple days. You guys can go and find our Hawkeye review. The first two episodes, two separate podcasts, are out right now. We'll be back on Wednesday with Hawkeye Episode 3, and we'll be able to do some more new stuff. If you're a Star Wars fan, check out Tusken Radio this weekend, because there's going to be what I think is going to be a really, really great episode, probably one of the best we've ever had. So that's going to be dropping, I think, Sunday night, reviewing The Last Jedi. So, yeah, thank you guys so, so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretsch, and Spider-Man forgot my birthday.